Perhaps suggested that this might be something I might want to preach on. And so I'm going to read a little bit of it tonight and go over it, see what the Lord would have for us here. And then if nothing else, it'll be practice. Maybe I'll preach something else. I don't know. I don't usually know about those things. I try not to make up my mind about what the Lord wants. Amen. It's a very difficult thing. The scriptures have no private interpretation. And so a lot of times you just can't figure out what exactly the Lord wants for a particular time and place. But a message still must be timely. Amen. I believe the Lord knows how to give you a message right on time. And so, but I believe this is what the Lord would have for us tonight. We could go over to the book of James. And then we could also go over to the book of Acts. I've been interested in a study that I started in the book of Acts about the administration of the church. And I believe the Lord is definitely interested in the administration of the church, how things are laid out, how things ought to take place when we come and meet together. We are the church. There's no question about that. Believers are the church, and we're supposed to meet together. We are the church together. We're not the church separate. We're the church together. Amen? Amen. And we are the church. Everybody that's saved is a part of the church, which is His body. And the Lord has commanded us to meet together. Amen. The body is not separated. The body is no division. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, did I think it was all right to just quit meeting with the church since the churches are in such bad shape and just start meeting at home and meeting in the houses and having home church? And the answer to that is easy. The Lord does not forsake the church. And so I would say that His children ought not forsake the church. Amen. And so the Lord not forsake us, we'd not forsake one another, especially not forsake Him. Amen. All right, the book of Luke, I trust that everybody's at their place in chapter number 15, and you hold your place there. But I'm looking back at chapter number 13, and there's a lesson on repentance there. And the he said that some folks told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans. That's one of the greatest thoughts about repentance that there is. He starts off the sentence like this, suppose ye, do you think? Suppose ye. He's the way you're thinking. He's asking them about the way they're thinking. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you got to change your mind about the way you're supposing. You got to change your supposing. Amen. He says, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, the Lord said, I got some other stories to tell you about folks that perish. Those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men? Think ye? See what the way you're thinking. Repentance has to do with the way you're thinking. Now this fellow, I'm almost amazed at this. There's a fellow on the internet preaching he's wrong about almost everything he says. But for some reason, he's not wrong about repentance. He believes kind of the way that I've been teaching about repentance for the last couple of years. That stuff kind of amazes me sometimes, how a person can be a complete moron then get some stuff right. But that's neither here nor there. But he says, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So chapter 13 and 14 and 15, especially chapter 15, has a lot to do with repentance. I would never bother with anybody too much that tries to do away with repentance, although we sang a song a while ago that really kind of gives you a little bit of a different look at repentance than what the Bible has. It says, then I repented of my sins and won the victory. That's not exactly correct. You might have changed your mind about what your sins were or how many sins you sinned. But the modern look at repentance says, I'm going to quit sinning now and I'm going to start doing something else. Well, the revelation that you are a sinner, in other words, before you got saved, you didn't think you was a sinner. I'm not that bad, says the sinner. But when sin revived and you died and the law stepped in and showed you what a great sinner you was. The Bible says that sin appeared exceeding sinful, so that your mind, the way you looked at things, the way you see things, is a whole lot different now than it was before you got saved. Sure, before you were saved, you would admit to having some faults and failures. Anybody that wouldn't is not living in reality. But after you got saved, you thought, well, man, I was a lot worse than I thought I was. And when you come to that revelation, you probably came to that revelation before you got saved. And then after you'd been saved a year and studied a little bit more, you said, man, I was even worse than I was than I thought I was when I got saved. And then when you got called to preach and preached 10 years, you said, man, I'm the worst fella that ever was. And you just keep on, the Bible keeps on revealing to you what a drastic situation this old flesh can get you into. So there's lots of lessons between Luke chapter 13 and Luke chapter 15 about the idea of repentance. And so you go back and read that as you will and as you can, as you get an opportunity, and kind of study that a little bit. But I wanted to look at this verse or this chapter a little bit and just try to get whatever we can get from it tonight from the Lord. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll read it. Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity tonight. We've come to you and we've asked you about these things that are pertinent, God, and priorities in folks' lives. We pray that you'd hear and answer those prayers. But Lord, the need of the hour right now is that the Word of God be preached and that the Word of God would have free course in our lives. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiveness. I do pray that you'd forgive me. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and have mercy on us. And Lord, I was reminded of the thought today, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Lord, the filling of the Spirit and Lord, that being tied up with understanding. And Lord, I do thank you, God, for understanding and the leadership of the Spirit, inspiration, God. I thank you for those things. And I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. Open the hearts and the minds and the eyes of your people, God. If there would be one here lost, I pray you'd save them. And all these that are here saved, God, I pray that you'd help us, God, to come to some conclusions in our life, God, that we do have a completely and totally different object, a completely and totally different outlook on today and the rest of our lives. And I pray, God, you'd help us in every way that you can out of the Scripture. And I thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number one. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now things are fixing to pick up. Some publicans and sinners come to the meeting. Amen. I wish we could get some publicans and sinners out here. Amen. I started to read it like this. Then drew near unto him all the Republicans and sinners. Amen. Republicans and sinners. Democrats. Republicans and sinners for to hear him. But then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. If we could just get some sinners to come in and hear the truth. I mean, just recognize who they are. And really, you're talking about repentance right there. Folks that are sinners. Folks that know they're sinners. Folks that know that they need to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sad thing about it is a lot of people come into a church on a Sunday here or a Sunday night here or a Wednesday night here, and all they hear is Brother Mike. All they hear is Brother Mike preach. All they hear is Brother Nathan sing or something to that effect. And what we really need to do is hear from Jesus. Amen? What we really need to hear is from Jesus. I was thinking about it this week. I was listening, got up early on Monday morning, and I've been trying to get up earlier and do more work. And I've done so much work over the last couple of weeks that I remembered why I chose laziness. I mean, I really just prefer laziness. I really do. But I've been getting up early and trying to get more stuff done. And I've been trying to go from one project to the next over there at the house just work all day until the light's gone and no opportunities to get anything else done. And then just go crash and get up and do it again. And after I get that place whipped into shape, I'm going to start up in here. Amen. It's cost a little bit more money to do that kind of a stuff. But I was just thinking, I got up on Monday morning and was thinking about some things. And I didn't open my Bible right away on Monday morning. I opened up YouTube. I don't recommend you start with YouTube. I recommend you start with your Bible. Amen. But I had been listening to Lester Roloff on Sunday. And there's a lot of Lester Roloff on the internet. You can listen to that. I recommend you do it every once in a while. But I woke up Monday morning and turned it on and was flipping through some things and listening to some preaching and listened to a little bit of Roloff singing. And boy, I found out, you know, you sing along with Roloff. If you sing better than him, you're okay. But if you sing worse than Roloff, you're in bad shape, man. I was thinking, man, I hate for our folks at Peoples when I have to lead the singing. Because if you're singing along with Roloff and think, man, I'm messing Roloff up, then that's pretty bad. But I happened to notice a little video there, and I clicked on it. It was the radio communication between Lester Roloff's plane and the towers as he was flying into that storm that took his plane down and killed him. And really, I grieved all day. I listened to that thing, and I grieved all day. Brother Pedro, I grieved just like it was my daddy or my grandpa that had died on that plane. Boy, I listened to those aircraft controllers call his name for 30 minutes and him not answering. But he was in heaven. I got to thinking about that thing all day, and I went to bed last night. It might have been Tuesday night. How many nights are between Monday and Wednesday? Anyway, it was last night. I went to bed and I turned on that Lester Roloff sermon called "Flying by Providence," and he was telling about all the times he had almost crashed that plane. And that's all the sermon's about just how God had taken care of him time and time again. He said one of these days, I'm not going to take an airplane ride. I'm going to take a plane air ride. And he surely did that day. I don't think that he ever figured that he was going to take it from an airplane. But he went home to be with the Lord that day. And I thought about that all day Monday and all day Tuesday. And just about got into depression there thinking about that stuff. I don't care nothing about death at all. I don't like to think about death. I don't like to think about people dying. I don't like to preach funerals. I just don't like to think about that stuff because it depresses me. I don't want to die myself, and I don't want to think about anybody that I know or care about dying. I just don't enjoy that subject at all. If I watch a movie that's about death or something like that, I can't watch a movie where a child is abused or murdered or nothing like that. I think that's sinful. I can't watch a movie. If I know a movie's got something on it like a woman being attacked or a little baby being kidnapped or something, listen, you could show me a movie trailer that looked to me like the best movie they ever made, and in the last 3 seconds of the trailer show me that some kid was abducted in the movie, I wouldn't watch it, I wouldn't touch it, I wouldn't look at it, because I just don't want to take no pleasure in that, because that stuff's all connected to death. And if I wouldn't want somebody to abduct my little boy, why in the world would I get pleasure? Why would I pay Hell's box office to entertain me with somebody's kid? All that stuff is just death, and all that junk is connected together, I think. And I was thinking about that Lester Roloff death, and really, that guy died in 1982. That's something you ought to be over by now. And I was thinking about that thing on Tuesday. I wonder, you know, thinking about it, when you die, 40 years, how many, is that 30 some years ago? I don't know. I don't know exactly how many years. People still thinking about you and crying over, and I got to think, well, that's really more of a blessing than it is a curse. And then hearing him talk about, you know, going home to heaven, I was like, yeah, while they was calling him on that radio, man, he wasn't down there on the ground suffering. He was in heaven. Amen. And I feel bad for those families that were connected with them, but I really got a blessing after spending 2 days really down in the dumps about it. I really got a blessing thinking about the fact that here's a man that spent his life, and you know, I think Dr. Ruckman it was one time said, "Why in the world did God take Lester Roloff and leave Michael Jackson?" I don't remember a lot of things that a lot of guys say, but sometimes preachers say something that stick with me over the years, and that right there really hit home with me. Yeah, why? Yeah, I don't understand stuff like that. I mean, God understands everything. I know that. But thinking about the preaching and all that kind of stuff, and if you'll think about what, you know, Lester Roloff preached, and so I don't think he'd be able to preach in many churches today. I think if most people that liked Lester Roloff while he was alive today, I think we've been in church, I think we've been under the ministries of the modern church long enough that if most people that loved him while he was alive listened to him today, they'd probably be taken aback a little bit, because a lot of churches are training their congregation not to like that kind of preaching. And you know, they say Lester Roloff was a rough preacher and a hard preacher and a strict preacher. But you know what? As I go back and I listen to those sermons, there's a whole lot of Jesus in those sermons. And it was a whole lot of, listen, if you'll come to Jesus Center, he'll help you and he'll fix you. He'll help you and he'll fix you. And he wasn't trying to be mean to nobody. I don't believe that. And I don't believe Jesus was either. Jesus was known to take whips and chase people around. But I think everything he done was for their benefit. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. And there's a little sidetrack there, but I just wanted to say, here's this verse. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And I believe that was the message in the 1980s. I believe that was the message in the 70s and the 60s. And you just keep on rolling back through the years. That's the message that got the job done. Hey, come to Jesus, sinner. Come to Jesus, sinner. Listen, I could give you a seminar after seminar after seminar about how to get rid of depression and grief and how to put that stuff aside, but there's nothing that'll ever help you like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Recognize it. Listen, Paul the Apostle, after his conversion, after his training, after his ministry began, after he began to get great success as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, his opinion of himself was still, I'm the chief of sinners. He never got over that. Never got over it. And I believe every day that sinner went into the presence of Jesus. Just like these sinners here come to the presence of Jesus to hear him, Paul the Apostle, long after he was established in the ministry, just kept coming back as a sinner. Lord, here I am. There was a lady in our church when I was growing up, Jerry Hyatt. She was a nice lady. She was a lady, she ran a couple of businesses, and she was very well off. At least I perceived her to be very well off, and she probably was. She owned a little chain of restaurants and stuff. But she would sing and cry, and she would get up and sing, "It's Me Again, Lord." And she would sing that song, and I couldn't tell you all the words of the song, but I know what it was about, amen? It's about a fella that just keeps on going through the same stuff and the same stuff and the same stuff, and just every day go back in his presence. It's me again, that sinner. Amen. And he knows who you are. Amen. He knows who you are. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's the one to hear. Amen. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Worst of all things, that made him mad. That's what he was talking about when he was talking about repentance. That's what he wanted those guys to change their mind about. They were so set in their ways, and they had everything figured out. Had all their ducks in a row. And if that's not the philosophy of my four and no more, I don't know what is. Hey, me and my family's going to church. Me and my family have a King James Bible. Me and my family are Bible believers. Me and my family, you know, we wear our suits and ties. Me and my family, we do this and that. Not thinking about anybody else. When there's not a person on this planet that's any worse of a sinner than you was before you got saved. Some of you might be worse than they are now. Amen. There's some well-trained lost people out there that probably live better lives or cleaner lives. I really couldn't say better or cleaner. I just have to say better trained lives. The Pharisees were well-trained. Amen. You know, none of my dogs right now are well-trained, but I did have a well-trained dog at one time. I mean, he'd bite you and eat your arm off. But he was well trained. He would do what I'd tell him, but he's just a dog. Amen. He's just a dog. That's all he was. And you can get folks well trained, but they're just sinners. Amen. That was Paul the Apostle. He was well trained. But his own confession was, I'm the chief of sinners. I wonder why it is that born again, washed in the blood, Christians who know who they are, who know how they think. You know how you think, don't you? You know what you would do if you could get away with it, don't you? Paul the Apostle could see that about himself and see who he was. But today's modern Christians can't see that they're still poor sinners. So we're saved, Brother Mike. We are. We are. Still saved, no question about that. But wrapped in flesh that still wants to do everything it ever did want to do. I hope some of you have got some training since you got saved that helps you keep from doing those things. But it's what's in your mind. It's what you're thinking. Remember what he said over in chapter 13. Suppose ye, think ye. What's going on in your thought processes? I've had people tell me before, while I'm out witnessing to them or something, witness to them a couple of times, come back and then come back and then come back again. And they say, oh, you're a good man. I say, hey, we're all sinners, and trying to show them the reality of being a sinner. And they say, oh, you're a good man. You're a preacher. And no, sir. No, sir. Not a good man. Everything good. So, Brother Mike, shouldn't preachers have some goodness? Yes, sir. Preachers should have some goodness. And preachers should have some training. But everything that's in me that's good is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And that should be the attitude of all Christians. Amen. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Eateth with them. I need to get our green books back out so I can sing this, or so we can sing this song. It's not in the red book. I look for it this evening. But the song, come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I don't know if you know it or not, but that's pretty close communication. I'll talk with you all day if I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'm going to invite you in to eat any of my fried chicken or not. Amen. I tried to invite Brother Spike to eat with me the other day, but he wouldn't come in and eat with me. He wanted to go home, and I don't blame him much after eating a whole day. But most of the time, inviting somebody in for dinner is reserved for your friends, for your companions. And here's a man hanging out with sinners and eating with them, communing with them. And a lot of Christians, I tell you, a lot of Christians won't go that route. A lot of Christians. Now, listen, I'm for convictions. I'm for preaching right. And if occasion calls for it, preaching hard and chewing on sin and all this stuff. But listen, if you've got an opportunity to sit down and communicate and fellowship, and I don't mean deep, intimate fellowship and stuff like that with sinners and wicked men and deceitful men. But if you got a chance to sit down with them and tell them about the Lord. Now listen, you say, well, I believe we ought to live a separated life. Listen, these sinners that sat down with Jesus and heard him talk and heard him speak, they didn't sit down with him more than once or twice if they didn't agree with him, if they didn't believe him. They would go away and curse his name. People say, well, if you start hanging around with all these sinners, pretty soon you'll be just like those sinners. Listen, if you hang around the sinners and tell them about Jesus, they're not going to hang around you that long. Amen. It is a truth that either you will convert a sinner or a sinner will convert you. But if you're going to sit around and talk with them about Monday night football and what kind of beer you used to drink and what kind of girl you like, and if you're going to talk with them about that stuff, well, sure, you're going to get dragged back down into the muck and the mire. But sit around and talk with them about Jesus. Jesus wasn't talking with them about which football team he liked best, the Dallas Cowboys or the Washington Redskins. That's not the kind of communion he had going on with these folks. He had something to tell them, amen. And I believe we as Christians, we've got something to tell them. Amen. There was a fellow in the Bible, God bless his poor little old heart. He didn't know a lot. They were saying, hey, won't you tell us, this Jesus, he's a sinner, ain't he? I mean, this Jesus is a sinner. He said, boy, I don't even know if he's a sinner or not. But I know one thing. I was blind. But now I see. Now listen, if it was an independent Baptist preacher talking, that fellow wasn't even saved. Because you can't be saved without knowing that Jesus is not a sinner. But I tell you what, that fellow said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But I know I'm looking around peeping now. I'm looking. I can tell you if your hair's blonde or brown or green. Amen? You do know there's folks walking around with green hair these days, right? Amen. You can throw that in there if you want to. Well, the fellow says, I know I'm a sinner. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I know what he's done for me. I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not, but I know I'm all fixed up. And you can get saved today and go out and start talking just that way. Well, what about this or what about that? I don't know nothing about that, man. All I know is I got down on my knees yesterday and asked Jesus to save me. Ain't been the same since. Amen. All I know is me and Jesus got down at the altar last night and had sweet communion. Amen. Well, when Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. Is that true or ain't it? Well, when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, they understood what he was talking about. They was talking about that bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, I am that bread that came down from heaven. Well, you know what happened when the bread came down from heaven, don't you? The Jews said, what is this? They didn't understand what all was going on. You don't have to understand a lot about what's going on either. All you got to do is say, hey, I know what Jesus did for me. I know this. I know this, Mr. Sinner. Jesus will sit down and eat with you. And it's a mouthful too. Amen. Listen, Christianity is a mouthful. You expect to go out and talk to somebody and just have them fall over into salvation right in the first time. That ain't always going to happen. Now, if you go out and just tell them, hey, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me if you'll say this little prayer. And I believe with all my heart that you can call on the name of the Lord and he'll save you. But there, listen, I even believe in easy believism. The thing that I think is hard about salvation is convincing somebody that they need saving. That's the hard part. If you can convince somebody that they need saving, then telling them Jesus died for their sins. I believe that easy. When I was a kid, I wasn't but about 5 years old, sitting on the middle row at the White Plains Baptist Church. The preacher preached probably an hour and 10, 15 minutes as he was wont to do and preached about judgment. And I sat there and believed that. And when the invitation come up, if you don't want to be under God's judging hand, under God's hand of wrath, then get under his hand of mercy. He'll save you if you'll come today. And I believe that easy to believe. Went down there, Roger Collins took his little Bible out and hit Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 10 said, if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And I called upon the name of the Lord and he saved me. It was a mouthful. Amen. Took me a long time to figure out a bunch of stuff. Our preacher didn't even preach on eternal security. I thought I was lost about 20 times before I got 20 years old. He just preached, hey, you ought to do right, you ought to do right. Didn't spend much time teaching about stuff. Took me a long time to figure a lot of stuff out. But I figured out something that day, that morning. When I got up off the altar, I said, man, I ain't going to that judgment. Amen. I ain't going there. Amen. Amen. You know what's going to happen instead of the judgment for Christians? You know what happens instead of the judgment for Christians? You know what the Bible says happens for Christians that trust him? The Bible says God's going to call us all up to a supper. Yeah. And you're going to sit down. I actually hate this passage of Scripture. I don't like it. The first 3 or 4 times that I heard it, I said, that ain't true. But you know what the Bible says? The Lord's going to say to Brother Pedro, come and dine. And when you go to pull out his chair, he's going to pull out yours and have you sit down. And the Bible says he's going to gird himself and serve you. The first time I heard that, I said, that ain't true. He ain't serving me. That's exactly what I thought. Thou shalt never wash my feet. You ain't never putting no mashed potatoes on my plate. You would think that you'd be serving him, wouldn't you? But you know what he's going to say? Come and dine. Come and dine. Why would he do that for us? Because he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And eateth with them. Amen. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Did you sheep hear that? You're not in beds of ease. When the Lord leaves the 99 to go get one, you know where he leaves you at? In the wilderness. We're just passing through down here, folks. Amen. This is a wilderness. Brother Mike, I surely would like to get over all this grief and depression, all this hardship. Well, listen, part of that you can overcome. A lot of that you can overcome by getting your mindset right. But getting your mindset right is the right expectation. See, a lot of people expect too much. They expect a life of ease down here. But you're traveling in the wilderness. That's partly good because God sends the manna in the wilderness. He doesn't send it to Jerusalem. Jerusalem never got 1 ounce of manna. Angels' food. The book of Psalms calls it that. But they didn't get angels' food in Jerusalem. They got angels' food in the wilderness. I tell you what they had down at Jerusalem. They had that old Jerusalem plumbing. I don't know what kind of plumbing they had in Jerusalem. But that old same water that everybody got. But out in the wilderness, they got water from great deeps. Water from the rock. Amen. Amen. So there's some good things about being out there in the wilderness. But Christians, you ought not to expect to live a life of ease all the time. Jesus and his sheep, they're in the wilderness. And if he had to go find one, he'd leave us in the wilderness and go and look for him. You know what he says? I believe it's in the last chapter. And it came to pass, chapter 14, it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. They didn't complain when he ate with the Pharisees. They complained when he ate with sinners, though. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall in a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again of these things. He had already asked them that question not too long before that. They didn't like answering those kind of questions. So he's talking about picking things up out of pits and ditches and stuff like that. He says it's always good and right to do that. So he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. You know how you're supposed to look for sinners? Till you find them. Don't throw up your hands and say, man, I sat on the riverbank the other day, Brother Pedro, and couldn't catch a thing. I thought I was going to maybe catch a cold out there or something like that. But I couldn't catch no fish for nothing. I was fishing that little canal that goes around that, whatever you call that little beach down there off of River Road. Y'all know what you call that, don't you? But at any rate, yeah, there's a little canal that comes around that thing. I was trying to fish out of there. There wasn't nothing biting in there. Something kept stealing my bait, but it was probably a little old fish about this long. I was trying to catch something else. But I fished and fished and fished and fished and fished. And by the time I decided to go home, I said, well, I'll go out here to the point first and try to catch something. So I went out there on that point, and on that point I didn't catch much. But I caught the biggest catfish I ever caught on the pole. That was the second one. The first one I caught was the biggest brim I ever caught on the pole. I mean, I've only ever caught brim on the pole, but it's the biggest one I ever caught right there on that little point. And then the next one that I caught was a little bit smaller than that one. And then after that, I caught the biggest catfish I ever caught on a pole. Caught some bigger on the bush hooks. But the biggest one I ever caught, I was pretty happy about it. I ate them too. They was good. But see, I had to keep on fishing and keep on fishing and keep on fishing. And after I wanted to go home, I was already done. I was ready to go already. But just stay a little bit longer and look a little bit longer. And you never know, you might catch the biggest one you ever caught. Amen. Amen. Like some of you was ready to be at home on your couch 15 minutes ago. But you don't know what to listen to the rest of the sermon. You might get the biggest eye opener you ever got. I don't know that you will. I don't see nothing extremely profound in here that nobody's ever seen before. This is just the gospel. But maybe that's what you need. Some Christians have been looking for this super big revelation that's going to change everything. I told you the other day I had a thought that would have changed everything, but I forgot what it was. Amen. It was probably something simple. I know what will change everything for you. Meet the man that receiveth sinners. Amen. and eateth with him. I mean, there's something about knowing him. I mean, there's something about really realizing what he's done for you and just getting addicted to him and falling in love with the Lord. I mean, just really give your whole heart over to the idea behind why he came. Amen? And there, boy, there'll be something that'll just make you want to go to church all the time and pray and read your Bible and go every night to camp meeting and revival and all that kind of stuff. Amen? Make you want to drive 12 hours at night to hear preaching. That's weird. Amen? Volunteering to drive all night. Amen? To go to a camp meeting 12 hours a day. Oh, but we've done it many times, hadn't we? Amen. It's worth it. Worth every bit of it. Amen. Of course, I sleep while my wife's driving, so sleep or tranquilizers. You got to have one of the two of those things. Amen. He said, go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Well, I was looking at that other passage. I read it to you. I know you probably want to go home, but reading in that passage back there in chapter 14, when he says, which one of you, if you had an ox or an ass and it fell in a ditch, wouldn't you go pick it up even if it was the Sabbath day? That's about the best work you can do. Amen. The Pharisees recognized that was work. Amen. But you know, this day and time, you begin to preach about getting people up out of the ditch, Christians that have gone astray. You start preaching about picking them up out of the ditch and they'll start hollering, that's works, that's works. Well, what's wrong with works? That's legalism. What's wrong with doing right things? Yeah. What is it that drives preachers crazy about just doing right? What's wrong with legalism? Listen, the concept that you've got about legalism, about having to do right, what's wrong with doing right? Well, I don't want everybody judging me. What's wrong with trying to live so good that nobody got nothing to judge you about? I mean, even the Air Force aims high. Amen? I mean, that's about the least military branch we thought of when I was in the Marine Corps. Air Force? I mean, we would hang out with Navy people before we would hang out with some Air Force guys. Oh, my soul. But at least they aim high. I wish we could get some Christians that aim high. But every once in a while, you know, you'll fall in the ditch. You ever fall in the ditch? Oh, my. In my mind, I've fallen in the ditches. Sometimes I've come to the pulpit and preach and thought, how in the world, son, can you get up and preach after the things you done thought? My mind been in the ditch. I think they call that the gutter. Get your mind out of the gutter. Every once in a while, you'll fall down that ditch and the same one that come by and look for you while you was lost. And come down there and I can just see him do it, getting down by the ditch. Yeah. And leaning over there and looking. Said, Brother Mike, he'd come down the ditch and get me, won't you? He already did that when he died on the cross. Yeah. Amen. Well, I think the Lord done been to the ditch. Amen. So he gets down there by the ditch and says, little sheep. Hey, won't you give me that pride you got there? Yeah. Let's get that out of the way. So, Brother Mike, he'd just get you up out of the ditch and then clean you up from the pride. No, sir, the pride's what got you down in there. Right. Said, little sheep, won't you give me that television program you shouldn't have been watching? Right. Give me that Walking Dead. Yeah. Let me have it. So, Brother Mike, don't you believe you can watch TV? I believe you can watch TV, but some of that junk you're watching is killing you. Yeah. Amen. So, Brother Mike, there's plenty of stuff to watch on TV that's okay. Yeah, but that ain't what you're watching. That's true. Amen. That's true. You think the preacher's stupid, but he ain't. Give it to me, little sheep. You know what time we do? Cover it up. I ain't giving this up. And then it's a little sheep. Get a little sterner. He might say, give it here. Lord ever hollered at you like that? But you know, the Lord is meek and lowly. And he'll come to you like that and talk to you just like, oh, and sometimes I'd rather him yell at me sometimes when he gets up next to me and says, hey, little sheep, let me have that now. Time to give it up, ain't it? Well, I remember as a Christian chewing that old tobacco. driving down the road one day, and the Lord said, give it to me. And it wasn't, listen, I'd heard preachers all my life, Lester Roloff and Carl Lackey, just, I mean, you'd have thought they was the one chewing, but they wasn't chewing tobacco. They was a chewing, on my feet, a man stepping on my toes. But the Lord didn't talk to me that way that day. He just come up and said, now, a little sheep, I'll take that from you now. And it was right on time. The Lord helped me and never touched it since. You know what happens when you give that stuff up? The Lord reached down, grabbed you out of the ditch and pull you up, put it on your put you on his shoulders and begin to walk off with you, walk back home. And you know what? Oftentimes he pulls us up out of the ditch and puts us on his shoulders. We say, no, that's okay, Lord. I can walk now. And he'll say, no. I'm going to carry you a little while because you was the one doing the walking when you fell in that ditch. I'll do the walking a little while. See, you get messed up and you think I'm going to get right back up like Samson did and shake yourself and you're going to do everything like you always do as a Christian. But no, sir, your hair's gone now. And Samson didn't get his strength back until his hair grew back in. But that was a long, long time down the road and really wasn't much to brag about. But I'm glad we're living in a day and time when the Lord's merciful and long-suffering. He'll put you back up on his shoulders and carry you a little while. I'll tell you, him carrying you around a little bit and maybe taking some of your responsibilities away. Might even take a little bit of your power away. Power with God. The power of a sound mind and a sharp mind where Christianity is concerned. That's a great power. Listen, I believe with all my heart, and I've gave you the study already, I believe the filling of the Holy Spirit has a whole lot more to do with understanding than it does with some chill running up and down your backbone or some feeling. I just feel like, no, sir, I don't believe it has anything to do with that. But the Lord, you'll from time to time, after you've been in the ditch, you'll see that stuff slip away. And if somebody's, you need to witness to something. I've literally, Brother Nathan, witnessed to a lot of people since I've been saved, even as a boy up through the years. And I've seen some times where I've lived just carnal enough to where when I tried to witness to somebody, all that could come out was, you really need Jesus. And just no power to think, no crisp, clear mind. And that's after getting up out of the ditch. And he said, what is that? It was Jesus carrying me along. Folks can get saved. Folks get saved. A lot of that stuff, Jesus carrying you. Amen? Amen. Put him on his shoulder. He said, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. I look around from time to time, I see Christians that have no rejoicing whatsoever. And I just wonder, I really wonder if they ever really realize what the Lord's really done for them. Man, if you do, you're on shouting ground. I mean, you really are be on shouting ground when you realize what the Lord has done for you. You ever wonder why people just get excited when they see somebody get saved? It's something to rejoice about. And from time to time, I'll get down on myself and I'll think back and I'll think, well, man, Jesus done that same thing for me. And not only that, he's forgiven me 100 times since then. And people act like it'd be like, I can't even think of what the word, it would be, I can't even think the word. What do you call that word where you, etiquette? It would be bad etiquette for you to get happy about anything. Be just glad. I mean, I got a great Bible. Woohoo! You ever thought about, I mean, even that little boy can do it. Amen. I mean, say, got a good church, got a good vehicle to ride around in, runs. I sat in my truck last night. I got a 1999 Nissan pickup truck. My wife bought it from Mr. Albrecht over there. And I painted it green and brown and all kinds of, almost some kind of red. I thought it was brown. It was red. I had to paint over that. And it's got 300,000 miles on it, and the tires scrape on the side off if you turn it too sharp because they're too big, and the back end's not raised and the front end's raised up, and it's a rolling pile of metal. That's all it is. I was sitting in the driver's seat yesterday just looking at the dashboard, and I said, this is my truck. Thank you, Lord, for my truck. Amen? Because, quite frankly, when I think back, and I've been thinking this all week, we think we're doing something, we think we're great Christians or whatever we think, God could have just as well left Michael Jackson and Lester Roloff and taken me. 1982. Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. But he receiveth sinners and eateth with them and puts up with them and supports them and is long-suffering towards them. Yeah. And loves them and reveals his will to them. Gives them a place to come to church. Forgives their sins like every 15 minutes when we mess up. There's no wonder the Lord said, hey, gather around, friends. Rejoice with me. My sheep that was going astray, I found him and brought him back. I'm just going to carry him around for a couple of days. And all them faithful sheep are like, let me ride up there, Jesus. No, sir, I'm just going to carry this old knothead for a little while. Me and him's going to fellowship. Real easy to whisper in his ear while I got him up here on my shoulder. Sounds like a good ride to me, amen? Lord, we do thank you this evening for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I couldn't begin to rejoice. My old heart and my old head is so hard and so unmindful of all the things that you've done for me. I just couldn't begin to rejoice as I ought to, but I am thankful. I am mindful of the fact, God, that you've brought me a long ways past my deadline. You've brought me a long ways past where I ought to have been allowed to live and preach. And Lord, I know I've preached many sermons past my expiration date. I really know that and believe that with all my heart. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity to get up every day and do a little bit of work. And thank you for the time to fish every once in a while. And thank you for the time to witness and the time to do what I ought to do for the Lord, though I don't do that half like I ought to. And I pray you'd forgive me of that and help me with that, and help me not to pass away from this old world, God, before I've got my mind right and my heart right and my attitude straight. And Lord, in every area of my life, help me to be good, a good pastor, a good preacher, a good husband to my wife, good father to my children. And help them to be good children to their father and to their mother. And help, oh God, this church to be a good church. And help us, God, to be mindful of the fact that you was good enough to come by and receive us and eat with us and fellowship with us and give us a little bit of what you thought about the world and life and the devil and all these things that you've showed us. Thank you for it. And we'll thank you, oh God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. You're dismissed.